You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
From the number one sports site in the world.
Big names.
Bold interviews.
Beyond the X's and O's.
Welcome to the fastest 2 hours in radio.
On Yahoo Sports Radio.
And yahoosportsradio.com.
This is the Big E Sports Show.
With the one and only, the triple threat, the Big E.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell. The 6 foot former Sooner women's basketball player.
She can post, pin, and produce with some of today and yesterday's biggest stars.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell delivers sports the way you want it. Get ready to go beyond the X's and O's
with today's star athletes, coaches, and sports figures.
This is the Big E Sports Show
right now.
Now from the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio.
Are you ready?
Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze.
Here she is, the one and only, the Big E, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell back with you, and good evening. Welcome inside the Quicken Loans studios right here at Yahoo Sports Radio. We've got a very special program, an edition of the Big E Sports Show. We've got you covered always with the biggest and best in sports. An outstanding lineup over the next 2 hours. We've got a ton of NBA, college football, and NFL talk. In fact, Super Bowl champion coach Tony Dungy is going to be joining us to talk about the dynamic new movie that is out this weekend titled Woodlawn that has been released nationwide. Highly recommend for your entire family. But we're going to kick off our show tonight with one of the Big E favorites, a very special guest who is back in town, Super Bowl winning coach, the great Dick Vermeil, who won it all in 1999 with his quarterback, Kurt Warner. It is so good to have you back with us, Coach.
Nice to be here. Thank you, Alyssa.
Well, it is always an honor. We're looking forward to catching up with you. We want to get your perspective on the Houston Texans and a number of things, but what brings you back to Houston? I bet you just came to town just to come and be on the Big E Sports Show right here at YSL,
You always allow me on your show when I'm here, and that's great. It's good marketing for our Vermeil wine products. But I come in here really to invest some time in the market and work with Specs and Rodney Brown, who represents our wines on the wholesale side with Specs Wine, and they're our best distributor. So I'm actually here for the week.
Well, of course, the holidays are just around the corner, and this would be a great time to stock up on your wines. Tell the listeners where they can go, and I've got some questions for you. We always brag about your cab and what a fabulous wine that is, but I want you to talk to us about some of the dessert wines that you offer, especially since the holidays are going to be here.
Well, you know, we're not big into dessert wine. We make a little bottle of wine, a half bottle called Compassion.
Mm-hmm, that's
it's
right.
A port. It's a sweet wine, and after dinner, I can drink it after dinner or with a dessert, especially with a nice chocolate dessert. It's very good. Our Sauvignon Blanc is some people like it even after dinner. Now we've made 100 cases of Chardonnay again this year, and our 2014 is better than our 2013 was, and we sold that out right away. And when you're making limited production wines like we do in different varietals, you get excited when all of a sudden one takes off and sells out quickly.
You know, you were talking about the dessert wine, the Compassion wine. What is the flavor of that wine?
It's like a rich red wine, higher in alcohol, more fruit up front, if people drink port, they will understand what this is.
Right. We are so delighted that you are with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Super Bowl winning coach, the great Dick Vermeil. Can you believe it? One of the greatest coaches of all time is joining us in studio tonight. And we wanted to have you on to talk about your wines, obviously direct all the listeners where they can go once again, and to find out more about Vermeil wines.
Well, in the state of Texas, it is Specs. Nobody does a better job than Specs.
Our good friend Rodney Brown in studio with us.
They have 170-plus stores throughout the state, but I really concentrate my effort here in Houston. It's a great city, a great restaurant city. I was just at lunch with Masroff's there, and Rodney did a good job of pouring our wines for Russell Masroff, and I think it went well. And these things you do, you hit four or five places a day, but retail-wise, you go to Specs and buy our wines.
What kind of feedback do you get from some of the folks that try your wines for the first time?
Well, for example, the one fellow there today, Eric, says, you know, they have such a negative overall perceived idea of what a so-called sports celebrity wine is, you know. Right. And they're always seem sort of surprised and saying, oh, my gosh, this is good, rather than, you know, this is not too good. You just put your name on it to sell the bottle of wine. And that's not the process at all with us. You know, I'm deeply involved in everything we do other than making the wine itself physically. But they're sort of surprised the wines are as good as they are.
And the winemaking business is very competitive. What sets yours apart and makes yours stand out?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, the National Football League, everyone complains how tough it is. There's 32 teams.
Yeah.
Welcome to the wine world in Northern California, over 500 wineries, and everybody makes good wine. Ours is unique. You know, you develop a personal relationship with the people that liked good wines. We don't tell anybody our wines are any better than anybody else's. We say if your wine tastes good to you, it's good wine. And being a small producer, you cannot make inexpensive wine. It has to be quality wine matched price-wise to the value. And you know, when a person spends $40 for a bottle of wine, he wants a good bottle of wine. And when he spends $80 for a bottle of wine, he wants a real good bottle of wine. But we can't make high volume. You know, people are making thousands of cases and they can sell it for much less. And we little guys like us cannot do that. And we don't want to. That's not our bag.
You know, the 2015 year is quickly coming to a close. As we look ahead to 2016, what's on the horizon for Vermeule Wines? I mean, you're goal-oriented. I mean, what would you like to accomplish?
Well, I was out there through the harvest for the 2015s. Our crop was down about 30%. We're hoping the quality will not be down.
Okay.
But due to the different variations of weather, when things certain habit, and when they got rain, when they didn't get rain, when they got heat, when they didn't get heat, these kinds. But the overall crop was down about 30%. Now, sometimes the grapes and the quality ends up being better. Only time will tell. Our new winemaker, Thomas Rivers Brown and Randy Jones, seem to be pleased with the quality of the grapes. So I know our 13s that we just bottled just recently are better than anything we've done in the past. So, you know, you keep honing your process.
Right.
You keep making a little money and putting it back into the process to make it better. You know, get better barrels, get better processing, get better storage, all these different things. And the other thing we've done is we've become a little more restrictive as to the area of the 170-acre vineyard, the Freddie Annie vineyard that we use. We now have total access to what we call a picket road block for Cabernet, which is the best block of Cabernet in the vineyard, right across the street from Araujo. You know, $350 bottle of wine at Araujo. Now, 25 yards away, we're picking grapes to make our Cabernet and use Cabernet in other blends. So you just keep trying to make it better. In 16, we'd like to get so we sell more direct in our tasting rooms. The sales in both our Napa tasting room on First Street and our Calistoga tasting room on Lincoln Street are up. You know, people are becoming aware that we're in the wine business, and there's a lot of people that like little, small, quaint type of situation
sure.
for their wine, you know, and which is good. There's enough wine drinkers in the United States to fill all our arters, believe me, even though we get a small percentage of them.
You know, I have to wonder, what are some of the biggest challenges and obstacles that you have to overcome? You're talking about how competitive this business is. Also, the climate. I'm sure you have a farmer's almanac. You're wanting to know,
yeah.
you know, what's going to happen there. But what are some of the biggest challenges perhaps you didn't anticipate?
The biggest challenge is selling it. The biggest challenge is
marketing
putting
it?
The wines mm-hmm. in with a distributor that will sell it when you're not there.
Ah.
I have no trouble selling wine in St. Louis and Kansas City when I'm there. When I'm not there, it doesn't sell real good. Because distributors in general have so much pressure on them to sell the high-volume, big-name wineries that they can't go into a restaurant or into other shops and present all these wines that, oh, by the way, taste Vermeule's wine, when they're trying to get you to buy 150 cases of Mondavi or Stag's Leap or Joseph Phelps, all big-name, great-quality
sure,
wines.
Sure.
So the little guy many times gets left out. With Specs and Rodney Brown, we get equal opportunity.
That's wonderful. Hey, Dick Vermeil with us in studio tonight right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We want to encourage you to go to his website, vermeilwines.com. Of course, you're right here in the Lone Star State in Houston. You can go to Specs, and they will definitely hook you up. We're going to step aside for a quick commercial break. When we come back, hey, we want to start talking about the Houston Texans. We want to get the coach's perspective and start marking up the X's and O's. Much more straight ahead right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports, and we will be right back.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio. Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
The Big E.
Alyssa Walker Campbell, I want to welcome you back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, as it rolls on, and we would absolutely love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. You can email the show at Alyssa@YahooSportsRadio.com. And remember to listen to the show on the go. Just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. You can listen on any computer or smart device by going to StreamYSR.com. And of course, joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line, he is a celebrity. We're talking with Dick Vermeil, Super Bowl winning coach and one of the game's greatest coaches to have ever been a part of the game. And, you know, Coach, before we went to commercial break, I said, hey, we were going to talk about the Houston Texans, and they have had a rough season. They are 1-4, third in the AFC Southern Division. Can they turn this around? What's your assessment of what the Houston Texans have been doing this year?
Well, I don't think it'll be difficult to turn it around. They're a better football team than the win-loss record. They're killing themselves with the turnovers. They're -8 in turnovers, and you just cannot win in the National Football League. And I study that stuff weekly. I've been studying it since 1969, so I feel if I am an authority on anything, I'm an authority on that. And they're just turning the ball over too many times, and they're not going to win. You know, you just can't win. And I know this right now. I studied it this morning, in fact. There are 17 teams -1 or worse in turnovers right now, and there's only one winning team in the group, and that's Indianapolis at 3-2. You can't win doing it, you know. And you conversely, the teams that are really positive, there are 14 teams +1 or better, and the win-loss record is 31 wins and 2 losses. Well, here they are. An up-and-coming football team, struggling a little bit at the quarterback position and all that. They lost their running back in Foster, and then trying to beat other football teams, turn the ball over. It ain't going to happen, especially if they pick it up and run it in for a score.
Right. You got to minimize those turnovers, but you've also got to have some stability at the quarterback position. Yeah. And I think what's surprising is the fact that, you know, the Houston Texans, they won 9 games last year. And they didn't have continuity in terms of at the quarterback position. They had 3 different quarterbacks. I mean, I was very optimistic that they would right the ship, they would get this turned around. And so I guess it just is surprising to see that they, you know.
Well, they have the 2 guys, and to me it looks like they'll end up going with Hoyer, which I think was the original intention at the start of the season. Then it didn't go well, so you get mad at him, you put somebody else in, and invariably you were right in the first place that the other guy was better. You saw him every day on the practice field, and you come back to him. Right now he's playing at a quarterback efficiency rating very good. Now he had the 1 bad play at the end of the game last week. But, you know, all quarterbacks have bad plays. But see, when you're just barely good enough playing against other good football teams, the 1 bad play gets you beat.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, for example, Philadelphia won the game last week, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He threw 2 interceptions going into the red zone to score. Sam Bradford did.
Mm-hmm.
He's a hero after that game because they won the game. Okay, they won the game. If they'd have lost a game, they would have eaten him alive because he threw 2 interceptions. Winning, you start ignoring it. Coaches don't ignore it. Coaches recognize that. But I just think they've got to keep playing smart football, eliminate the penalties. You know, it's hard enough to win on your own, let alone contribute, help the other guy. You know, it's stupid. You know, I don't have the numbers on it, but it's easy to get. I always studied the number of scoring drives of a team that we're going to play that were given a first down within a scoring drive that allowed them to keep it going. You know, sometimes it's over 50%.
Mm.
Can you imagine that? And you're trying to beat other good football. You don't do it.
Right,
you don't
right.
do it.
You're listening to the voice of Dick Vermeil tonight, right here in studio at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I want to encourage you to check out his website, vermeilwines.com. And as we talk about just the value of a quarterback, you coach Ron Jaworski, Kurt Warner. I mean, you can't underscore the importance of a quarterback and just the trust that you need to have. I mean, you're talking about Sam Bradford. I mean, his trust, his stock, it definitely went up after last week's performance.
Okay, well, I'll tell you this.
Okay,
I did a study on this before this season started to answer my own questions.
Uh-huh.
But there's only been, of the 49 Super Bowl games played, only 7 of those games already played did not have a Hall of Fame quarterback playing in the game or one that is destined to become one. You better have that guy. Okay. You better have that guy or you're kidding yourself.
Okay, so what's the key to that? How do you find a franchise quarterback?
Hey, maybe Hoyer's a guy.
Okay.
You develop him. You stay with him. You coach him, stay with him, build his confidence, build his self-esteem, and get him truly believing in himself. It's one thing for you to believe in him. The most important thing that he believes in himself. And then you start getting more confident in your throws. You're less hesitant. You're making better, quicker, faster decisions because you're not worried about making the mistake. Some of that is behind you. And then you develop the mental toughness. You know, and developing mental toughness is like going to the bank. You keep going to the bank and putting something away, you keep getting tougher, you keep getting money in the bank. You know, it's the same thing. The quarterback has got to be mentally tough. And they develop that through progressive succession of doing things right and then not taking the blame for when things go wrong. You know, sometimes you lose a ball game, he throws an interception. Mm-hmm. But what happened on the 60 other four plays? What player could have made a play that would have won the ball game regardless of the interception you threw? So you build it all together. But right now it looks like he's their only hope. But his quarterback efficiency rating right now is indicative that he has the ability to do it.
You know, Dick Vermeil, you have the reputation as one of the best motivational coaches. And, you know, it is difficult when you're muscling through dark times. I mean, what kind of advice would you give to head coach Bill O'Brien? Because that's got to be so difficult to keep these guys moving forward and having some type of belief.
Well, everybody has to do it with their own philosophy. And sometimes your philosophy is really influenced by your exposure to other people, other coaches, and that kind of stuff. But I was always remain positive. You know, remain positive. You know, coach what they're doing wrong and keep on the positive side of it. Because, you know, a high school coach told me this one time, 45 years of coaching in California, Shasta High School, we're winning, unbelievable winning record. Uh-huh. He said, you can't make a champ out of a guy you continually call a chump. I never forgot it.
Be demanding.
So be demanding, be tough, but be positive.
Be demanding, but not demeaning, right?
Right. And you attack the problem, not the person. And there's a great definition, a difference between the two. And I've worked with people that have been on my staff that would attack the person. And I would gradually coach them into attack the problem. Mm-hmm. And then bring the person along. But you can tear a guy down. And some of these guys' confidence level isn't nearly as deep as you may think they are or really should be.
Dick Vermeil with us right here at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. Time is flying by too fast. So how do you create an authentic team atmosphere and team experience so that these guys trust each other, they love each other, they care about each other? Because that's when you're going to maximize the talent.
Well, you know, you're talking about building a culture, and that takes time. It usually means eliminating people that don't fit. It means intelligently drafting people that do fit. Because you mentioned the word motivation, and I appreciate the compliment. Oh. But I've always felt that evaluation was every bit as critical as motivation. If you really screen who you're allowing to wear your jerseys, you don't have as many motivation problems. You know, yes, they're going to make mistakes, and they're going to be down, and you've got to pump them up. But they're naturally motivated, driven people. Or you'd like them to be anyway, or you see within them the ability to really motivate themselves.
We could go another half hour with the great Dick Vermeil, who's been joining us tonight right here at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. What an awesome way to kick off our show. Much more straight ahead tonight right here at hour number one at YSR, the Big East Sports Show, where weekends always start early.
You're listening to the Big East Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell back with you at Yahoo Sports Radio. The Big E Sports Show. As a reminder, to listen to the show on the go, you just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. You can listen on any computer or smart device by going to streamysr.com. That is streamysr.com. YSR.com. Normal data rates apply. Well, tonight you're in for a real treat because in our next segment, we're going to take time to shine the spotlight on a new book that's been released. And you may remember the inspirational movie, When the Game Stands Tall. It presented the true story of the De La Salle Spartans, who had a record-breaking 151 straight victories. It was an amazing film on winning, teamwork, overcoming adversity. Head coach Bob Lattisor, he knew how to develop his football team, his players for success on and off the field, and they have just released the new book. It is titled Chasing Perfection, The Principles Behind Winning Football, The De La Salle Way. Author Neil Hayes is joining us, and it's such a pleasure to have you with us tonight, right here at Yahoo Sports Radio.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you. Talking De La Salle football and Bob Lattisor is always a... one of my favorite things, so I'm glad to do it.
Well, you talk about one of your favorite things. I tell you what, this movie, Where the Game Stands Tall, that was one of our favorite films as a family. We really enjoyed it. It's so inspirational. But kind of just share the backstory on head coach Bob Lattisor and just how he took over as a head coach at De La Salle High School. And this was a school that had never experienced a winning season.
No, it was a joke. I mean, kids that actually participated, they were afraid to wear their leather jackets out in public because they'd get teased by all the public school kids. That's how they were viewed, really in the community in the San Francisco East Bay. And Ladd had played at San Jose State, obviously played in high school, played for some good coaches. I really felt like college football had chewed him up and spit him out. The machine of the college game, really wasn't interested in coaching. Was kind of looking for meaning. He worked at Juvenile Hall, and as he described it, if he'd had a heart attack, kids would have stepped over him on their way to the vending machine. He really wanted to make a difference with kids. And the De La Salle job came open. They never had a winning season. It was also a religion teacher. He'd studied theology. He was 24 years old, had never been a head coach before. He took the job, and then, after the 2013 season, he retired 34 years, 399, 25, and 3 career record. That includes more undefeated seasons, 28, than individual losses, 25. So, obviously, a very, very remarkable, just mind-boggling numbers he put up. And really a guy that did it his own way. That's what really attracted me to the program, is I got to spend some time around him and realizing that he really doesn't approach the game the way, every other football coach I've ever been around approaches the game. And that's really what stood out to me and made me determined to follow them for a season and right when the game stands tall.
Author, sports writer Neil Hayes is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show, shining the spotlight on the new book, Chasing Perfection, The Principles Behind Winning Football, The De La Salle Way. We're talking about, of course, head coach Bob Lattisor, just this exceptional head coach in high school, of course, is retired now, but 151 winning streak from 1992 to 2004, and what was the longest in high school football. What was the secret to his success?
Well, it's really interesting because that's what, as I started hanging out over there, that was my question. How are you doing it? People like John Gruden, then coach of the Raiders, people like John Madden, we're trying to figure this out. How on earth was this happening? And remember, during a 151 game winning streak, not only did they take on all comers as much as they could, but the average score was 44-10. So they weren't just winning games. They were blowing people
annihilating
out.
Annihilating them. Yeah.
And doing it sometimes, giving up 40, 50 pounds per man on the offensive and defensive lines. And so, that's exactly the question I set out to answer. And finally he said, I don't know what to tell you. The only way you can answer that question is if you hang out with us every day for a year. And I kind of took that as an opening. And so I showed up every day for a year. And when you do that, I think you quit becoming an outsider, you become an insider, and you build relationships and trust. And really, they gave me full access. He just is a different kind of cat, isn't it? Very intense introvert, hates the spotlight. Doesn't wear a headset, empowers the kids, doesn't give pregame speeches, calls it saber rattling. I was in the locker room one time before what then was
probably one of the biggest high school football games for sure in California history, maybe national history.
The title of the book is Chasing Perfection, The Principles Behind Winning Football, The De La Salle Way. And it's important to note that this is not an X's and O's book. I mean, it really does go into depth on how he created a winning culture. And the other thing I want you to talk about for all the listeners, the endorsements for the book were incredible. What the foreword was written by John Madden. And I mean, you've got Jim Harbaugh to Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll. And let's see here. And Jason Garrett. Got to talk about my Cowboys.
Yeah, well, it is truly amazing. And, you know, get in contact with those people and find out that they're falling all over themselves to contribute. You know, it's kind of a testament to the respect that Ladd has inside the profession. You know, John Madden in the foreword says that, you know, he really, despite all his years as a coach and a broadcaster, he considers, in a lot of ways, fundamentally, De La Salle to play the game at the highest level. There is, when it comes to execution, when it comes to getting off the ball, when it comes to, you know, some of the very fundamentals of the game, he doesn't think anyone at any level does it any better, which is, you know, quite a compliment. So, it's just a testament to Ladd, you know, the guy that's obviously very well known in coaching circles. And I know he spent some time with Nick Saban and Bill Belichick, and Tony La Russa is a good friend. So a lot of people have kind of sought him out through the years to try to pick his brain and find out what they can do, what they can learn from Bob that can help their teams. You know, Tony La Russa wrote one time about how, you know, before a game with the Cardinals, before a season, that umpire came up during the season and said, "Boy, I love watching you guys. You guys play the game the right way. Fundamentally, the best team in baseball." And Tony La Russa, you know, the manager of the year multiple times, thought to himself, "Boy, we're De La Salle-like." So that shows you, you know, he's comparing, you know, his Cardinals to this high school football team, which shows you the respect.
You know, you talk about head coach Bob Lattisore. Who taught him, though, the winning formula and how to make a team greater than the sum of its parts?
You know, I think in a lot of ways he was trying to create the experience that he felt he never got from the game. Again, I kind of told you, he felt like he got chewed up and spit out a little bit by the machine of football. And so he really set out to create a game, the kind of experience that he wanted to have, a very meaningful experience where you care very deeply for each other. A lad has told me before that you can't play for him unless you're willing to stand up in front of your teammates and cry. He makes this a very personal thing, mm-hmm. Where these guys, you know, just care so deeply for each other that the game just means more to them than it does other teams. I mean, you can just see it in the effort. And it's all built on a commitment that's central to the program and on these relationships between the players. One time he said the whole program's built around one question: how much do we owe each other? And he said, you know, they still haven't answered it. They're still trying to figure that out. But, you know, I think that's gives you a pretty good idea of kind of the principles
right.
of the program.
Hey, Neil Hez is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Only have time for one more question as we highlight the new book, Chasing Perfection, The Principles Behind Winning Football, The De La Salle Way. Highly encourage you to go out and get a copy of it. Why did Coach Lattisore, he had so much success in high school, why didn't he go on to coach in college or the pros?
You know, he thinks that high school age kids is probably the most critical point of a person's life. And that's what he always wanted to do. He wanted to impact kids. You know, he was never in it for the trophies. You know, he was never in it for the state titles, for the accolades. You know, he's not a guy that wears his coaching gear anywhere off the field. He's in it to help kids. And he thinks, you know, kids at this age are so vulnerable and so desirous of the right type of leadership and mentors. And that it's a very, very important job. And he's just never really considered it. And Lord knows he's had offers through the years, but he just always felt what he was doing was very important. And he was never moved to go anywhere else or you know, climb the coaching ladder, because to him it was always about the kids.
Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh, I think, said it best. This book should be on the reading list of every coach and every teacher. Thank you so much, Neil, for joining us tonight right here at YSR.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Of course, the title of the book is Chasing Perfection, The Principles Behind Winning Football, The De La Salle Way. And we've been visiting with Neil Hez. Much more straight ahead tonight right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
Walker Campbell. Welcome back to a very special edition of the Big E Sports Show right here at Yahoo Sports Radio. We have been looking so forward to our next interview as we are getting ready to share a story of courage, hope, and a miracle. It is a personal account of a promising high school hockey player who survived brain surgery and months of rehabilitation, infections, temporary paralysis. His name is Duke Piper. He was an aspiring hockey star at Minnesota's elite Hill Murray High School, and only at the age of 15, he faced brain surgery with a 5% survival rate. He has a new book out. It is titled, I'm Alive, Courage, Hope, and a Miracle. And Duke Piper and the author and the sports writer who worked with Duke and collaborated with him on this project is Jim Bruton, and he's joining us as well. Good evening, guys. It's nice to have you with us on this Friday night. Thank you.
Well, it's great to be with you. Thank you.
Of course. Well, let's start off our conversation. Jim, I want to invite you in and have you share this inspirational story of a young man that demonstrated just incredible courage. And it's such a strong testament to never giving up. When I went through the book and read his story, I mean, I was just so inspired as a parent. How did Duke's story impact you personally?
You know, I have to be honest, I wasn't going to do this book. And I had been called by Duke. I didn't know him. We got hooked up actually through hockey legend in the Minnesota and Twin Cities area, Lou Nanny. And I was really busy with some other things. And so he asked if we could meet for lunch. And, once I met him, it was just so easy. I mean, he's just the greatest kid. And, I just knew I had to do this book, and we had a great time. It took us quite a while, a couple of years. But I just enjoyed it so much, and I felt privileged and honored to be a part of it.
Tell the backstory.
Such a great young man.
Yes. So. Jim, tell the backstory. I mean, how good was Duke Piper as a hockey player in high school and just his potential that he had?
Well, it's not very odd. First of all, to play at Chadwick St. Mary's, which is where he played for a couple of years in his earlier high school days, you have to be a pretty good hockey player, because that is a hockey breeding ground for a lot of NHL players and future college stars and so forth. And so when that kind of thing goes on, you know, you've got a good player. I mean, he was recruited in the ninth grade by some colleges.
Wow.
Around the country.
Uh-huh.
And, he was a nationally ranked defenseman by some scouting services. He transfers up to Hill Murray, as you mentioned, makes the varsity as a ninth grader, which is unheard of. And then suffers this tragic brain bleed before the first varsity game, and how he's come back from all of that, and obviously he'll never play hockey again, and has some other issues that he deals with all the time, but a remarkable, remarkable young man with such a great attitude and such an inspiring personality that it's just a pleasure to be around him every day.
We are shining the spotlight on the new book, I'm Alive, Courage, Hope, and a Miracle. Our good friends at Triumph Books are helping us out, providing the helping hand with this interview. We're visiting right now with Jim Bruton. He is the author, and of course, Duke Piper. It is the story of his life. And one more quick question, Jim, before I turn the microphone over to Duke. I mean, what was it like to work with Duke Piper? I mean, and obviously he's an exceptional young man, but what are some of just his greatest attributes?
I think the idea that he's doing this for other people, not for himself. I mean, he, from the very beginning, all he wanted to do, was first of all, survive, which was amazing in itself. But once he did and got back to some form of normalcy in his life, enough to go to school out east at Bowling Green, all he wanted to do was to help other people and to tell other people about what happened to him, and be able to inspire them and say, you can come back and you can live a normal life and you can do this. And that's what he does in the book. We met about 10 or 15 times out at Applebee's in Roseville, Minnesota. We'd always meet at that restaurant and went over things. And I can remember times when I would ask him a question and the tears would run down his face and a chill would go up my back. And it was just amazing. But he told it all and he did such a great job. It's just such an inspiring book and about how to come back from tragedy in your life.
Well, let's welcome in Duke Piper and turn the mic on him. So when you found out you were going to have surgery, I mean, what was going through your mind? And were you just confused on what was happening to you? I mean, and as I understand, too, you had a real fear, a legitimate fear of needles as well.
I did. I never had a surgery before in my life. And I, of course, didn't like anything poking me or anything foreign, a foreign object in the body, obviously. And so I was really quite nervous about it, and to be honest, I only played video games to try and just keep my mind off in the in-between time anyways. Well, I had a couple days until I reached the point where I needed surgery, and in between that time, I just kind of played video games all day just to try and keep my mind off it.
And, you know, we talk about the surgery, but I'd love for you to share with all of our listeners just your love for hockey and what that has meant to you. And even though you're not playing anymore, you still very much were involved with the high school team, and they wanted you to be a part of it. I guess, what, as an assistant coach, is that correct?
Correct. I still love staying around the game, and I love being a part of the game. Currently, I am a student coach with Bowling Green's hockey team anyways, and so from that aspect, I've gotten to stay with the game, but it's provided me a lot of tools anyways to get through my injury, just like the hard work and the mental mindset that you need to have. And some of those things I really learned in through the game of hockey, and it's really helped me out in my recovery.
You know, Duke, I think about the physical challenges, what you've had to overcome, but what about mentally, emotionally? What kept you going and moving forward and not getting depressed and despondent?
Well, there were many times where I did get depressed and where I kind of had to get out of that mindset. But to be honest with you, it was kind of brought up through hockey anyways. And just the power to get through it and to keep going, and even though you face an obstacle, just to keep on working at it until you get it right. And part of my drive, I feel, that is that I wanted to be as normal as possible, mm-hmm. as normal as I could be. And I think that was what another thing that really drived me, is because I still kind of wanted to do everything that, per se, every other person or every other kid out there does, and I strive to be like that, and so that's kind of why I did what I did. And you gotta do what you have to do to be like that. So
you were listening to the voice of an amazing young man, Duke Piper. We're talking about his new book, his story, I'm Alive, Courage, Hope, and a Miracle. Of course, a sports writer, Jim Burton, is joining us as well. And you talked about wanting to, you know, maintain normalcy. You wanted to have a normal life. I've got to, you know, tip my hat to you. The accomplishment of graduating high school on time, the accomplishment of going away to school. And what was that like for your parents? I know how close you are with your mom and your dad. I cannot even imagine how hard that would be to kind of, you know, let you go and go to school, and even out of state.
It was very, very hard for them. To be honest with you, I don't really know how they let me do that, but through their goodwill, they let me go out of state and whatnot. And that was kind of always my dream anyways, was to kind of go away to college and you know, just to pursue my dreams. And so even though they definitely kind of wanted to hold me back, they knew that was my dream, and they let me do it, luckily.
Your parents have been incredibly supportive, but what about your coaches? What have they taught you and helped you to be able to move forward in your life in this new chapter?
I want to, all of my coaches, I know that there's a couple in the book, obviously, who have intermissions and who speak, but all of my coaches have instilled in me just great things anyways to get this accomplished and just to kind of live my life the way it is. And I kind of want to give them credit because, you know, a lot of what they've done has motivated me and is kind of ingrained in me to do these sort of things and to get beyond this injury and keep going forward.
Duke, you are an overcomer. As we get ready to wrap up our interview, share with our audience just your long-term goals. What are your plans for the future and just, you know, some of the career goals that you have in front of you?
Well, obviously, I've always loved the game of hockey, and so I would love someday to coach. And another goal of mine is, you know, obviously with doing this book was to really help other people and just try to get the word out there. And so I would love to, of course, along with coaching hockey, maybe to do something just with the book as far as, you know, helping other people or trying to assist them with overcoming obstacles or different things like that. And so that's kind of the what I would like to do in the future anyways.
You've been listening to the voice of Duke Piper. We're talking about his new book, I'm Alive, Courage, Hope, and a Miracle. Highly encourage you to go out and get a copy of this. This is where Duke recounts his difficult and courageous struggle to survive, battling months of paralysis, multiple surgeries, massive nerve damage, and countless other setbacks. He had to relearn his most basic functions, including how to breathe, swallow, walk, and talk. He not only survives, he thrives today, and it is such an honor to have him on our show right here at Yahoo Sports Radio. A big thank you to Jim Bruton. Of course, he's been on our show as well. Congratulations to both of you. It's a wonderful book, and we hope to see it on the big screen. Got to take the next step, right? Get on the movies, right?
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Much more straight ahead tonight right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. You stay close and join us at Twitter at eRadio Sports. You can always email the show at Elissa@YahooSportsRadio.com.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.